Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, I know that God's going to speak this morning.
Amen.
So here's what I want you to do. You see this thing? I want you to lift it up. And I want you to turn it off. No. Man of the house, the phone gets turned off. You turn this off. I don't even know how. We need to give God some respect here.
Amen.
If he were standing in this room and you answered the telephone, you get a straight trip to hell. Now, come on. What was that? Is that all the noises I'm turned off? Now, I wasn't trying to be sacrilegious. I'm saying if we revere God.
Amen.
Now, let me say one other thing. Do you have enough faith in God to hold you for the next hour, take care of all your business, and you don't have anything to worry about?
Amen.
Then the phone you don't need, right?
Right?
I think that's where we need to be. That there's nothing can happen within the next couple hours that God can't handle.
That's right.
And if we got an answering phone, then what we're saying is, God, you can't handle it, I'll handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't care who it is. That goes for my children and grandchildren, friends and enemies. Right?
Right.
Really believe that. I just thought on that for a long time, and I believe that. I've got to be more that way myself. Okay, we had an opportunity to pray a strange prayer this morning about God, how we're going to worship and praise Him. And what looked like starting off with friction turned out to be friction against the enemy.
Amen. Yes.
That's fine. I don't care how God gets the glory as long as He gets the glory.
Yes. Amen.
And I think God moved in the praise and worship team. I know in myself, I won't speak for them. But one of the things that we figured out is that, see, you are a treasure to God.
Yes.
But you may not be to me, and I need to learn that. Does that make sense?
Amen.
We get so wrapped up in our own little world that we forget that God has a big world, and He's made many, 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 many treasures.
Amen.
In a few months, about 300 million in the United States alone. Alone. Just there alone. I don't know about the rest of them. I can't keep up with it. And I know that if I'm going to know God, see, I can't understand the God in you unless I can relate to you. Whether it be in an argument or whether it be in a back-patting match or whatever, I can't understand the God in you until I understand. I don't have to understand you. I have to relate to you.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Gene's got a magnificent testimony. Harry's got magnificent testimony. Bill does. Where's Richard? Richard does. Before I say, where's Richard? He always sits in the same place. I'm the blind one here. And I have a few. And everybody that I know, if I want to know the magnificent God in them, I have to at least allow them to show Him.
Yes.
You overcome by the word of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb and the
word of your testimony.
That's right.
So I have to shut up long enough to at least, or I have to question or something, to try to get God out of you if he's landlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, you need the testimony, and so do I.
Yes. Amen.
Right? Yes. Now that's directly related to what I know that God wants to talk to you and me about this morning, and I fully intend to come out of this place better than I walked in.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I am hungrier than you are, so I'm going to get a bigger blessing than you will. So I'm anxious to hear me preach this morning. I don't know if you understand that, but I'm anxious to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
With that in mind, let's pray. Father, you heard what I said, and you heard the amens from what I said. Therefore, we're in agreement about being a hungry people. We're in agreement about being a people that want to know you, and we put a demand by faith on your word this morning to redeem, to deliver, to encourage, to save, and to heal in this place today.
Yes.
Not because we need it, because you need it and we need you.
Amen.
We speak this in Jesus' name, and everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
All right. Get your Bibles. I know what scripture I want to know. I know you're going to stand in reverence to reading of the Word. I know that you will stand as long as I ask you to stand, right?
That's right.
No matter if I read a whole chapter in Genesis, right?
Right.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to read a chapter in Exodus. No, I'm not. Just turn to Exodus chapter 3. Do you know that I'm going to read a scripture that has something strongly to do with you? I don't have one so that I can make a message. You want to hear my message to you this morning?
I want to hear God.
Be better. I'm out of here. That's kind of the way I am. I want to know what God has to add to that, right?
Amen.
All right. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Are you ready?
Yes.
Now, Moses. Y'all can be seated. Now, Moses. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to put your name in there. You say it out loud. Now, your name.
Now, child.
You got it? This is Revelation, if we'll just stick with it, okay? Now, while you turn there, don't turn away. Because we're going to read some. I knew you didn't want to stand that much. Now, one of the things that I think God has revealed to me in this last week is that every person that ever has been, ever will be, and is now birthed into this world has been given a purpose. Do you have a hard time believing that about you? Do you too, right here, believe that you're birthed into this world not by a plan of your parents, but by a plan of God?
Yes.
For a purpose of God. How about this one? How about this old one? Okay. Now we're in agreement. A purpose designed and given by God for His kingdom and His purpose.
Yes.
I said to the praise and worship team this morning, the one thing we need to understand is that everybody in the entire earth that ever has been, ever will be, and is now, is working for God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Working for God. They may not know it. They may not like it if they find it out. But they are working for the purpose of God. I am not trying to teach you predestination. The Scripture says that whatever was meant for bad, God can turn to good.
That's right.
So even the devil himself is working for God.
Amen.
Doesn't make him good. It just means God's using him. And I like to say that because I can hear the devil getting mad every time I say that.
Amen.
Oh, man, that makes... Woo, he gets mad. And I like him mad because then he gets frothing at the mouth and all goofy. Tries things he can't do, you know?
Amen.
Not everyone will fulfill his purpose because the enemy is real vigilant in trying to defeat and thwart that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you understand that the enemy has never been against you? He's only against God.
Yes.
And if you're God, then he's against... I mean, if you're God's, he's against you. Right? Don't take it personal when the devil tries to get you personally. The attack is on God, not you. If your battle has already been won, then you won't get lost in that battle.
Amen.
Okay. To those that remain true to the faith, you will fulfill this world-changing purpose. The title of my message this morning is You Are a World Changer.
Amen.
You are a world changer. Okay, then if that's so be it, then say, I am a world changer.
I am a world changer.
Now, do you believe that?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 1, and we're going to use an example. I think an example that maybe you can relate to. Don't get lost. Too many times in Bible stories, you get lost in the large picture. We never walk through how the picture became large. So don't get lost. Everybody knows about baby Jesus in a little ark, right? In a little, what do they call it? Well, it was floating on the river. I'm sorry. My mistake. Moses. Okay, I haven't read the scripture enough yet. About Moses floating in the river. Everybody knows that story. Don't get lost in that. That's not the point of this. I want you to read with me. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Then there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread or fear of the children of Israel. Now, let me ask you something. Can you fulfill that right there? The more you're afflicted, the more you grow? It's a good place to start. Verse 13, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. That means they had to get it on. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. What caused the king, or the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to speak to the midwives? We just covered it. Fear. Remember I told you guys this morning, I heard on the television, the more we study, the more we look, the more we find. Well, if you'll go back up there, this king made up a story in his own mind. And because what if? Okay? So what happened was he built this thing up so big in his own mind, that's all he could think about. Anybody in this room ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Take one little thing, grow it into a big, huge field. So out of that fear that he created with his own mouth and his own thought processes, he spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Now, if you want to see how insane this is, they were slaves, right?
Yeah.
And he needed an army, right? So you kill all the men. Just little details like that you need to keep in mind to see how a sinful mind thinks.
Yeah.
It thinks opposite of good sense.
Yes.
But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Okay. We got us a picture started here. We got the king of Egypt, or Pharaoh, call him what you will. We have a people in bondage that need some relief. Right?
That's right, man.
We have hard work which causes them to grow. And we have disobedient midwives.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We could have, 14, 11 different messages right now, setting everybody straight. But remember what I said? Everybody's working for God. All right. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. We can't keep up with it. Right?
I
mean, those crazy outfits, they just have babies everywhere and they won't even tell us. Well, I would. If I heard that they were killing my babies, I'd go right straight to them, wouldn't you? Therefore, God dwelt well with the midwives. But they're in disobedience. Therefore, God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Anybody want good households?
Yeah,
then fear God more than anything else. 22. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Well, it didn't work the first time, so I'll try it again. Do you understand that most of the time the enemy is more faithful than we are?
Oh, yeah.
We'll crater after the first time. God, I thought you helped me. I thought you saved me. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Do we have any players in the future of the world right now?
Yes.
You saw some? What were their names? Okay. We'll get there. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, when's the last time you ever saw a woman that thought their kid was ugly? Never, right?
Never.
They're always just gorgeous. Everybody else may think they're ugly, but I'll tell you, that mother knows that's a pretty kid. Mm-hmm. Now we got two more players here. We got two more players. A man and a woman that fell in love with each other and got married and had a kid. They thought they were just fooling around, but they had a kid. Some more players, right? But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh, another player, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Now we have another player. Y'all are getting lost now. Who was the next player? The maid. What was the maid's name? Do you see how many nameless people here are in this major play? Okay. And when she had opened it, do y'all understand that this river was the Nile and was considered very holy? That's why the daughter of Pharaoh was going to go bathe. It's very significant about where Moses came out of. Part of his name. When she had opened it, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. Everybody wants a crying baby. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" A player. A wise player. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. That's right. Praise God. He got it all planned out. I wonder if that mother of Moses, who has no name, and the father has no name, really thought they'd ever see that child again by putting him in the river. I don't know where their faith was, but you got to have some kind of faith to put your child in the river. God had it under control. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages," which she wouldn't have got if she'd have been a normal mother. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. So the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses means out of the water. In his case, out of hot water. Right? Now, can you see the plan of God? All right? Can you see or understand that it took people to accomplish the plan of God?
Yes, absolutely.
How many of them had names so far?
None.
Pharaoh's daughter? The mother, the father didn't have a name? The maiden that pulled it out of the water didn't have a name? Nowhere in history are they're implied, but nowhere in history are they named. You know, I just wonder how many of us are waiting for our name to be in lights before we understand God's got things under control. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. We've got the beginning of a plan of God. What does the scripture say about how God's going to do his plans? Will he accomplish them?
Yes.
Will they stop?
No.
Will they fall down? Will
no.
they be incomplete?
No.
How many sinners does it take to ruin the plan of God?
None.
Can't be done, right? So if no amount of sinners can thwart the plan of God, can a little sin in your life thwart the plan of God?
No.
I'm talking about long term. We're a church now with an overview. I don't care about you. I don't care about me. And I don't care about this church. I'm talking about the overview.
Right.
The plan of God, which we know is good. Jeremiah 29:11. Can you all quote that?
Yep.
I know the plan I have for you. Good, not evil.
Prosper enough to harm you and to give you a hope and a future.
Now we know the overview. Now if I can just stay in His will. I will get to enjoy all of that, and I won't pass it to my next door neighbor who's decided to obey God more than me.
Amen.
Right? Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. Now, nobody had ever, well, he had a feeling inside about these people that were unburdened. Right? All right. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. You know what that means? Mm-hmm. He looked over here to see if anybody's looking. He looked over there to see if anybody's looking. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Was this a sin?
No.
Thou shalt not kill is not a sin if you kill. Now listen to me. I understand thou shalt not kill is written wrong. It's thou shalt not murder. Y'all understand, the definition is not kill, it's murder. When you look this way, and you look that way, and you kill, what's it called?
Premeditated.
Murder.
Murder.
Now, did he sin?
Yes.
See, if you don't understand this, you'll never accomplish anything in your life. Because the enemy's going to remind you of a sin that you've committed.
Mm-hmm.
And take you out of any success in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to make a point out of this. By the way, in Moses' mind, he did not sin because he was Pharaoh's kid. And you can do what you want to. I'm not even going to touch that. Let's just go on. He killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. Verse 13, and when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? You know why they said that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they saw him kill the other guy.
Let's see. Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. I didn't think anybody knew. Now I'm in trouble. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. They thought they were just out there to water the animals. They didn't know this was a plan of God. The person that dug the well thought they were just thirsty. They didn't know it was a plan of God. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. Lot of players. How in the world could God be so smart to use so many people to accomplish such a little thing? Our trouble is we stumble over one little matter.
Yes.
God's got all the matters under control and asks us not to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yep. And they said an Egyptian delivered us. So he said to his daughters, where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And this guy knew maybe this might be a good husband. He's a good man. He might be a good husband. Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. Okay. I just showed up for a drink. Now I got a wife. That's what most of us would say instead of saying, thank you, God, for your plan.
Amen.
I didn't have a thing to do with it, but I thank you for it. And she bore him a son. I thought they were just having fun. And he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Verse 23, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. God acknowledged them. Now Moses. Moses was nothing but an accident. See, it doesn't make any difference in our lives what we've seen in the past.
That's right.
Moses felt like he was just an outcast. Come on. You put yourself in his shoes. He's been nothing but an outcast. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. But God says, now, Moses. Why now? Because he had gone through what he needed to go through to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. We never value what we've gone through, Harry. We are too busy thanking him that we're no longer there. Instead of thanking him for the experience. If we learned more to thank God for the bad experiences, we'd have a lot more good experiences. He doesn't have to ask me if I want to go do it again. He already knows that before we ask. But I thank him. I thank him for all the miraculous things I've gone through. I have a few. You got a few, and sometimes you need to speak them out.
Amen.
Because I need a few more. Right?
Amen.
I always told my kids, don't talk so much, man. If you do all the talking, you're going to know what you know. They're going to know what you know. They're going to know what they know. Now they're twice as smart as you. Now take that as a fact. If I will learn to talk to listen and not talk to talk, I will learn know what I know and I'll know what you know, and now I'm twice as smart as you.
Amen.
Because I live on your experiences that you told me about. I can glean from that. I can grow from that. Are you going to be smart enough to shut up now and listen to some of mine? Well, and that's why you're here to talk. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That, how could you overcome if God did not give you a testimony?
That's right.
And how could you get a testimony without a battle?
That's right.
How could you ever give a testimony to somebody if you didn't have one? What if you spent all your life in your past misery? Which is what, too many times, the church is trying to teach people right now. You need to bring up those past experiences. You need to get that off your chest. You need to blame your mother and your father. You need to say, I am what I am because they are who they were. Come on. You can't find that in the Bible anywhere. You've been delivered. That's what you can find.
That's right.
You've been given a new bloodline. That's what you can find.
Yeah, right.
You've been forgiven.
Yeah.
I mean, you are perfected in God's eyes.
Amen.
He doesn't ask you about if you're perfected in your eyes or not.
That's right. That's right.
You just need to receive his eyesight and quit looking through yours.
Amen.
Now, Moses. Did Moses say, now, Moses?
No. He said, surely it's not me.
That's right. God said, now, Moses. And in his flesh, he wanted to argue.
Right.
Why? Because he looked at his past instead of what God said about his past.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, unfortunately, Moses didn't know anything about God's past, what God says. Not yet he didn't. Let's put it in perspective. Without Moses, see, it's easy to say without Moses. How about if I tell you without the maiden that pulled him from the river, we wouldn't have any Ten Commandments?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was that maiden? I want to give her a name. Well, how about servant of God?
Yeah.
How about without Moses' parents? Well, I want to know their name. I want to give them some, just give God the praise. They don't care. They're with God now.
That's right.
But it's important. No, it isn't. Evidently, our name is not important. God's name is important.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Well, I want people to know what I've done. Why? I would think you'd want people to know what God has done.
Amen.
without Moses, without all of these players right here, there wouldn't be Ten Commandments. There wouldn't be freedom from bondage. There wouldn't be David. And without David, there's no Jesus. And without Jesus, there's no you and me.
That's right.
Come on, you must believe in bloodline.
Yep.
Even the new bloodline, right? So we don't know who pulled Moses out of the water. We don't know who it was. Must not be important. It must not be critical to our salvation. It must not even be critical to the plan of God. His mother and father's name must not be critical to the plan of God. Just their obedience. Well, I didn't know having sex was obedience. It is. Because it's God's will. Wasn't your plan, it was His. Who cared for Moses? What was the name? Who was King's daughter? She didn't have a name. How many of us are waiting for a name? Who taught Moses? What was he taught in?
All the Egyptian junk.
He was taught in the ways of the world. Anybody in here been taught like that?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't disqualify him.
That's right.
In other words, if you grew up on the street as a gutter snipe, it didn't disqualify you to be Moses. As far as the world concerned, Moses was a bastard. Mm-hmm. He had no father. And as far as they knew, he had no mother. My dad would say the buzzard laid him, the sun hatched him. Anybody ever feel that way? That you had such a bad history that you weren't too sure you're qualified for anything? Well, you're not, except for a will changer. He was taught everything wrong. He came from everything wrong. And he did everything wrong. Started off his ministry with murder. Anybody in here, maybe just a little better than that? Or maybe equal to that? I ask you a question. Be polite. Answer me. Anybody in here, kind of that equivalency?
Yeah.
Well then, now Moses. God says. What is he really saying? It doesn't make any difference about the history of Moses. Doesn't make any difference who you fought with, who you didn't fight with. Doesn't make any difference who your parents are, who they're not. Doesn't make any difference what the world tried to teach you. Was Moses a world changer?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
How about you?
Yes.
God's not a respecter of persons, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know why I say that? Because the maiden that pulled him out of the water was just as important as Moses.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, but I don't know her name. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You want fun, try to figure out how much of Moses' history you can actually find. If you want to know the truth, he was a shortly mentioned man. He got a little blurb here, and then he disappeared. And he got a little blurb here, and he disappeared. He didn't stay on God's radar screen. Don't argue. Don't argue. I've studied. I'm telling you, he did what God asked him to do. Sometimes reluctantly, just like all of us. Was the Pharaoh part of God's plan?
Yes.
I don't like that. How about you? That just doesn't go down well. It's the truth, but I don't like it. I'm going to learn to like it. I'm going to learn to live in it, but I still don't like it. Pharaoh was used by God. Was Pharaoh's daughter used by God? Was Pharaoh used by God when he decided to kill Moses? Yes. Were those heathen, disrespectful, disobedient midwives, were they being used by God? Now they were obedient to God, thou shalt not kill. And they were given reward. All it says about Pharaoh is he died. Mm-hmm. What was mentioned about Pharaoh's daughter? Well, you'd have thought she's important. Actually, she took him. You know how caring she was about Moses, according to the scripture? Oh, he's so cute. Get somebody to nurse him. Get somebody to take care of him, teach him. And when he was older, that's what the scripture says. There's nothing in between. God used her for an instant. To accomplish what? How long do you have to be used to accomplish the will of God? The truth of the matter is it is an instant because we don't know. We don't know who we're touching. We don't know who we're helping. We don't know what we're accomplishing. And if we trusted God, we wouldn't worry so much about how much accolades or attention is given to us.
That's right.
Right? Go over there and fish and pull that fish out and get that coin out of his mouth. That's a lot of work. Those moments in the Bible that we look over because we're looking for the big story.
Yes.
All of these unnamed people that brought Moses into being. And all of the unnamed people that God has planned and provided for and protected till here.
That's right.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Well, Stan, you must think you're important. Yes. Do you? I'm trying to tell you, you're a world changer.
Yes.
And if you don't believe that, then you won't change the world.
Right.
You will never reach out and change or help or touch somebody if you don't believe that that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
But you just don't know the troubles I'm going through. I ought to make a recording of this. Yes, let's keep it that way. I don't want to know about it. I want to know how you believe God is using you this moment. Is He growing you?
Yes.
Is He growing somebody else through you? Is He touching you? Is He touching somebody else through you? Are you going to go down and get your hands and feet wet so that you can help another hero of the Bible? Who's the most important? The one that saves him from the river or the one that does the work? How can you have one without the other? See, we have these planned responses. We do them because of ration and because of Bible teaching. The truth of the matter is, we teach about Moses being saved from the river because of Moses. But God took care of every person that had anything to do with that. Blessed. Nowhere else does it say they were blessed except for the midwives. Let's just say midwives. Because they disobeyed the kill order, they were blessed. Moses, like I said, was given away at birth. He was. Do you understand Moses was raised in the Prince of Darkness? Come on. That was his title, Prince. He was raised, taught darkness. So he's raised as the Prince of Darkness. He was taught only the ways of the world, which are sin. He was made the son of a world god by a world god. I don't think I've met anybody in my life that could describe that or could be titled that. A prince of darkness, a son of God raised to be a god for this world. A god of this world's son. He was to be raised as a ruler, a prince. That doesn't describe any of you, does it? Well, let me tell you something. There was a plan of the enemy just like that for you. A prince of darkness, a ruler in the dark world, the dark side. What happened then? He turned from that position to the Son of God. The most interesting, most miraculous change on the face of the earth. Raised to be a very wealthy ruler of this kingdom, gave it up to be a son of God.
Amen.
A ruler of nobody. Come on. God didn't visit Moses and say, if you just give your heart to me, I'll make you ruler of the world. You ever, ever, ever heard God say that to anybody?
No.
He never will. He says, if you'll give up who you are and what you are, I'll let you be my kid. That's the promise. Only what I'm telling you this morning is what God says, give your heart to me, and I'll make you a world changer.
Amen.
If we could teach it right, and we could understand it right, God never says, I need a maiden to pull somebody out of a river. He says, if you'll trust me, I'll make you a world changer.
Amen.
Let me worry about the accolades and the titles and the positions. Does everybody in here know they're unique?
Yes.
Why are you unique?
Me.
Prove it to me. Fingerprint. Is that a physical thing or a spiritual thing? You think that. Okay, so it's kind of hard to define. That's what you're saying. See, scientists will tell you that there's a gene pool that everybody's made from. That there's no new genes being created. Even though then they believe in evolution, which they blow themselves out of the water. Let's go back to science for a minute. If there were new genes being added, there would be evolution. So from a scientific proving point, we're the same. So we're working from a gene pool. If we were working from a gene pool, physically, I promise you there would be some repetition in fingerprints. Is there repetition in the gene pool in the form of twins? Isn't that amazing? You take one cell, and through meiosis, it divides, both of them having the same genes. Now you have two. And yet, the fingerprints aren't the same. They look the same. They act the same, sometimes so much so that the parents get them confused. But the fingerprints aren't the same. You know what that tells you? That a fingerprint is a spiritual thing, not a physical thing.
Yeah, right.
I am special with my fingerprint. There's no fingerprint that's ever been created from the face of the earth and never will be created that's like that one. That's God's care for me.
Yeah.
That fingerprint also means I have a specific purpose on this earth.
Yes.
And it cannot be duplicated or replicated. Cannot be substituted. This is my job, Harry. Nobody else can carry this print. Nobody else can do what I need to do. It is my print. Given to me by God.
Amen.
All I need to do is understand that. It's simple enough to me that I need to understand that. That makes me special. Moses had one. And if we were spiritual enough to read a fingerprint, we could have read his job in that fingerprint. Because somewhere in there, that's listed in heaven right there. We call it, my name is written. God, see, we don't name ourselves, and our parents don't name by going to God. So we've altered that a little bit, knowing this. There's my name. That's what's written in heaven. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. They're not the same. Isn't that amazing? You talk about a God. And a job description is tied with that fingerprint. I've been designed for a specific purpose. How about you?
Yes.
In God's kingdom.
Yes.
I was not designed to have my own way.
That's right.
I can. I just run amok, but I still will accomplish God's will. A person that's in rebellion is going to be made to do God's will. A person that's in God's will is going to enjoy God's will.
Amen.
Was Judas positioned correctly by God?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to be... Listen, this is a trick question. Don't answer out loud because you'll be embarrassed. Do you want to be used by God?
Yeah.
Told you not to answer. Judas was used by God. I want to be in God.
Amen.
Yes. I want to be flowing in God. You see, if I'm flowing in God, I don't have to be used by God. I'm just, it's coming natural. I thought I was having a kid because I wanted sex, but no, it turned out to be Moses. You understand what I'm saying? The natural flow in God creates God's will. And if I get out of the natural flow of God, then I end up Judas being used by God. I've never ever in my life said what I just said.
Amen.
That you being used by God is a negative thing. It really isn't in the kingdom of God, but in my life, if I'm just being used, then I'm not in the flow.
That's right.
It's like God takes my finger and makes it do what it's supposed to do. Rather than me just floating and not paying, just full of joy. I don't know if I know what I'm talking about, but I want to find out.
Amen.
Y'all help me get out of my conversation being used by God. That's just all of a sudden become negative to me. If I'm in the will of God, all I got to do is just be natural.
Amen.
If I'm out of the will of God, then I'm going to be put in a position to be used for the will of God. You know what the difference is, and I'll say it again. I won't enjoy a Judas position.
Yeah.
There'll be no profit in that. I'll have no happiness or joy or peace. I mean, Judas did the will of God and went and hung himself. Ooh. He didn't get a reward for it. But the midwives, they rebelled against the king taking risks and got rewarded for it.
That's right.
Why? Because it was a natural thing for them to do, not to kill babies. That came naturally. They were to deliver and nurse, wash, give to the mother, take care. Why? Because that's what their fingerprint said.
That's right.
That's what their barcode said.
Amen.
I just saw on the news yesterday, I think it was, where they're going to start putting fingerprint monitors down, and you don't write a check and you don't do a credit card. It comes by fingerprint. And you pay your bill. Are they catching up with what God already knows faster than we?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm worth, know what I have, know who I am? Now, I'm not for that, but I'm not afraid of that. Since God put that methodology in effect, He can mess it up if He wants to. He can protect me. Do you have the ability to be a world changer?
Yes.
You got a fingerprint?
Yes.
Then you got one. You got an ability, right?
Yes.
Do you have a call to be a world changer?
Yes.
You got a fingerprint, you got a call.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you want to be a world changer?
Yes.
You should. It's coming natural. See, if you're a child of God, you want to change the world. If you're a child of the enemy, you want to destroy the world.
That's right.
Judas' thinking, remember this, Judas' thinking was, I'm helping God. Do y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
Judas had been told by Jesus himself that he needed to go to the cross and be crucified. When you're a sinner, you say, oh, I'll help you die.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll make a little money in the process. You don't trust God, you help God out a little bit.
Yeah.
See, we're never called to help God. We're called to flow in God.
Yes.
Does anybody here think that God needs help?
Mm-mm. No.
I've always thought that. God needs my help. He doesn't need my help. He just needs my cooperation.
Amen.
He needs no assistance. What's his cooperation? Being me. How do I be in you? Well, I've sent the comfort. I've sent the Holy Spirit. Just flow. And the Holy Spirit will whisper. He'll woo. He'll direct. He'll warn. How much work is that on my part, Harry? You know the work. The work is relaxing because we don't want to do that. We don't want to just relax and fall back in the arms of God. We want to fight. You don't know these things God's putting me through. Oh, please. You're putting you through them. Relax in God, and you won't even feel them. Did you know Moses never felt the river? He was in tremendous danger and didn't even know it. The valley of the shadow of death. I will fear nothing. If I know I'm taken care of, what am I to be afraid of? Come on, this is real stuff we're talking about. I'm going to learn it. Are you waiting for fame, your name in lights, before you realize that you have a purpose and the purpose is true? You know what the enemy does? See, because I'm getting on this side of midlife. I don't know what this side is, but you can figure it out. That means you begin to look at your life and wonder what you've done. You know what? I wonder if the maiden knew what she'd done. I wonder if she ever knew that she created freedom for the people of Israel. Because she didn't know it was coming. See, if we just know that God knows things that are coming that He can use me for and He's not going to tell me about and I'll never know about them, there'll be things. My wife and I have touched people in this world that we will never know about. We'll never know what they do. We will never know what they accomplish. Never know. So what's important, knowing or doing?
Doing.
Just do. Just go. Boom. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what comes natural. Do what comes natural. If it's hugging on everybody, hug. Just do what's natural. If it's going around evangelizing, then go do that. If it's just being who you are, do that. But that requires you to give praise to God continually.
Amen.
For who you are, for what you're doing.
Amen.
Now, are you sure?
Yes.
At this moment, are you sure that you're a world changer?
Yes.
Bill, are you a world changer? Or do you need the enemy to tell you you're no good? That you've ever accomplished nothing. How many have ever heard those words in your life?
Oh, yeah.
You've never accomplished anything worthwhile. You've served God, you love God, but you're not worth shooting. See, that's the faithfulness of the enemy.
Yeah.
He's faithful. Are you faithful? You're faithful to believe that you've already changed the world and you got some more changing to do.
Amen.
You may never know it. You may never see it. I heard the personal testimony one time of not the man that witnessed to Billy Graham and got him saved. But it was too late because the man that witnessed to this man had already died. And he never saw Billy Graham. But he got this one saved to get Billy Graham saved. Who is most important here? You couldn't have had one without the other, right? Say it again. Most important part was God. His will being done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we follow God's purpose, such as Moses, such as Jesus, we'll have joy now and forever. If we choose, If we follow God's purpose like Judas did, we'll have torment now and forever. But we're going to follow God's purpose. I want to say it to you again. This is just a great thing to say to somebody that you want to get saved. You can follow God's purpose like Moses, like Jesus, and you can have joy now and forever. You can follow God like Judas, and you'll have torment now and forever, but you will follow God. We need to change our salvation message. You're going to do what God wants you to do. Because His goal is His purpose. His goal is not your purpose. Do you understand that God's goal is not hell? Hell is nothing. It's insignificant to God. He created for Satan and his followers. He never created it for anybody that he loved. And yet, some choose to follow Satan. God says, sorry, not until I'm through with you. You know the encouraging part of that is? God's going to try to get you back on His side until you hang yourself. Now what Judas did? He hung himself. He didn't hang himself when he betrayed Jesus. He hung himself in that last moment when he wouldn't turn to God. God's phenomenal. Absolutely unbelievable. You understand? God is unbelievable to the human mind. You're here today because God told you to be here. You're either serving Him or not serving Him today. Your choice. We jumped into the river that I talked about last Sunday. Somebody didn't put you in the river. You've either jumped into the river of God or you're staying up on the bank. I wonder which is easier, to flow or to watch something flow. I like to jump in. I told you that last Sunday. Remember me? You show me water, I want in. I don't want to watch somebody enjoy it. I want to enjoy it. The will of God is good for this world. I can jump in and flow, or I can be used as Judas. I can be a world changer, a world enjoyer for now and forever, or I can be tormented now and forever. What do you choose today? What do you choose? What do you choose today? This day. How about just flowing? Is anything in your life bigger than God?
No.
Is anything more important than the will of God?
No.
Where does your joy come from? The will of God. Not doing the will of God, flowing in the will of God. Doing designates work. Flowing designates relaxation, joy, and peace.
Yes.
Peace that passes all understanding. Choose this day. Bow your heads just for a moment. You see, this is how faithful the enemy comes. And he says to me, after giving you the word of God, you could have done it better. That's the very first words when I shut my eyes. You could have done it better. Then I heard the Holy Spirit said, you didn't do it. Don't take responsibility for something that you had nothing to do with. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is in charge of your hearing and your changing, not me. I'm just floating. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask you by your Spirit to minister and touch right now. I mean in a way that astounds us all. Nothing we expected. Unearned income. A blessing from heaven. A change in our walk. A change in our talk. A change in our thought processes. So that you can truly allow us to float in you and accomplish, whether it be pulling the baby out of the river, or whether it be standing on the mount receiving your commandments to deliver to your people. All the same, in your eyes. All the same in your eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch your people right now. Touch your people. Hallelujah. All I have to offer is brokenness and strife, but you made something beautiful.
Yeah.
Out of my life, that life that belongs now to you. That's why it's beautiful. It's your life. Hallelujah. No guilt. Please, right now, by the Spirit, enter into this realm which very few ever go. And that's no guilt, no worry, full of joy and peace, not worried about a minute from now, not worried about an hour from now, not worried. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Now, if anybody needs prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If there's something bothering you, something you need, something you want us to pray, but listen to me. God is the answer. God is the answer. If you need any help with agreement or anything like that, come forward now, knowing that God is your answer. Everybody right now, raise your hands, both of them, straight to heaven. Quickly, quickly. Say, God, I want to float. I want to flow in you. Your direction. Hallelujah. And I only want to touch what you touch. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Thank Him right now that it's done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Since all hearts are clear, amen. Let's hear an amen. All hearts are clear, right? And I'm going to do what was required in the Old Testament. I'm going to give my priestly blessing to you. Require that of me. If I forget it, ask me. Okay? If I've got the fingerprint to deliver a blessing to you, then I need to bless that you with that. Amen? All right. I'm going to read the Living Bible. You know the King James, I'm sure. It says, may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all are dismissed. There is a record set today. It is 12 minutes till noon. Don't ever say I didn't quit before noon. Bless you. Be dismissed.